we have different products, and different products are manufactured in different factories or different manufacturing outlets. Some factories, for example, produce edible products, biscuits or bread. Some factories manufacture garments or clothes, so that's a different type of item or product. And in the same way, if we see that different commodities, different products, different things that we utilize in everyday lives are manufactured in different places, in different manufacturing outlets, in different factories. And common sense tells us that every separate manufacturing outlet or factory has its standard, it has its quality standard, and it produces different things. And these things are used by people, for example, watches or cars. These are all manufactured by different companies and for the use of the general public. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe. And within us human beings, there is also a manufacturing process going on. And this factory within us, it also produces, but it makes different products. And Allah Ta'ala's factory that is within us, for example, this body that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, this body, it produces many things, many products, byproducts, etc. from this one factory. If we don't understand what I'm saying, then I'll elaborate, explain a bit more clearly. From this same factory, all the products are manufactured. How? Iman is created from this, and kufr also emanates from this, from the same generator, from the same manufacturing generator. Nifaq, hypocrisy, comes from here, and sidaq, sincerity and honesty also comes from here. So the same generator can produce these products. And the wali Allah is made from this generator, and the bandit, the thief, is also made from this generator, this manufacturer. The darkness comes from here, and the light also comes from here, from the same source, the same producer. The same producer. So all products or all effects or end products come from the same producer, the same manufacturer, the same generator. Everything comes from the same factory. Now imagine how important is this factory, this manufacturing process. Imagine how important this part, this generator, this machine must be within our bodies, that what it produces, that the person who doesn't have iman is made from this, and the person who has iman is made from this, and the luggage for Jahannam also emanates from this generator, and the luggage for Jannah also emanates from this generator, for the luggage for paradise. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in the Sahih Hadith, it is stated that insan, in the body of the human being, there is a piece of flesh. There is a piece of flesh. And if that piece of flesh is salih, if it is sincere and good and correct, then the whole body is correct. And if that piece of flesh is spoilt, contaminated or not right, then the whole of the body is not right. And what is that piece of flesh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us clearly, it is the heart, the qalb. The qalb of the human being. So we need to improve the qalb, the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ stated that the person who has corrected his heart, who has done islah of his heart, who has rectified his heart, who has corrected his heart, then in the akhirah, in the hereafter, that person will be totally successful. In the hereafter, he or she will be totally successful. So the heart is very important. We need to emphasize on the heart. Everything good comes from the heart. All our success hinges on the state of our heart. If we want to be pious, then we need to rectify our hearts. If we want to be good, we need to rectify hearts. If we want to attain the qurb, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't get it from our hands, from our tongue, from our eyesight. We can only produce the goodness from the heart, from the depth of the heart. The heart is the organ, the piece of flesh that distributes the goodness, makes the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, makes us close to Allah. Marifah we get from the irfan, we get from that. Everything comes from where? The depths of the heart. So if the heart is correct, then we are correct. If the heart is spoilt, then we will be spoilt and we will reach to Jahannam, to the hellfire. So for the people of understanding, this is a very big hadith, my friends. Very big hadith. And this is such an important thing, the heart, if we look at this hadith, that to look after the heart, to reform the heart, to improve the heart, to struggle on the heart, to strive for the heart, to make effort on the heart. Once a person brings about iman, we need to make the maximum effort and the maximum time should be spent on improving the heart. Every mu'min, every believer should cultivate his heart or her heart, should correct his or her heart so that the state of the heart is good. And the person who is neglectful of this, who doesn't pay attention to the heart, then his ibadat won't come in use. Then his worship won't come in use. If a person does so much worship, and he does the high level worship and reads nawafil and voluntary prayers and actions, alhamdulillah, there's thawab for this. There's hajj, you'll get the thawab. Umrah, you'll get the thawab. And you recite the Quran, you'll get the thawab. And you pray nafal, voluntary salah and etc., you'll get thawab. Of course you'll get thawab. You'll get a lot of thawab for this. A lot of reward for this. So the thawab will be attained. That there's thawab for everything. For the good deeds, there is the reward which is attached. But what's the difference though? That when we are presented in the court of Allah, and we have to go to Allah, isn't it? All of us. We have to go. So if we go with thawab, and we go with all the deeds, and the deeds that we committed, and all the ibadat that we performed during our life, and all our worship, and we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we reach to the court of Allah, then there will be a queue before that. And when our turn comes, we'll be waiting in the queue. And then it will be called out that this person, he backbited against me. Please give me something from his deeds. So from your ibadat, from your collection of deeds, deeds will be transferred to that person. Then if I lied, then the deeds will go. If I suppress somebody or oppress somebody, then my deeds will go. And there will be accounting and balancing. And all of my amal that I made and I committed and I implemented and I practiced the deeds, they will go, they will transfer. And where will all of this go to? To the other side. And then what will happen? They're empty-handed and nothing will be left and the person will have no deeds left. And then what will happen? That the sins will come onto that person, the sins of that other person or those people who our good deeds have been transferred to. And this is hadith. At that time we will learn. A person comes. Now how many amal has that person done in his life? What is the number? Where is he going? He's going to the left. To the left. He's done ibadah. He's worshipped. And thawab is there. The reward is there. And the thawab is for everything, all of the deeds. But the thawab, when it does go to the Day of Judgment, but because he didn't rectify his heart, he lied, he took other people's money, he backbited against people, he committed haram deeds, he earned haram, consumed haram, and he was involved in the sins. And he is doing ibadah at the same time in parallel. So where did the ibadah come in use? The thawab was there. The reward was there. And you'll get the thawab. You do hajj, you'll get the thawab. You pray salah, you'll get the thawab. You recite Quran, you'll get the thawab. So what will happen there? What will happen there? That what was the foundation that he didn't rectify his heart and he kept on doing ibadah and ibadah and he thought, I'm doing a very good action. And then he'll go to thereafter and then all his good deeds that he had amassed will be transferred to the people who he oppressed or did wrong against. So one person will come forward and he did his islah, he rectified his heart and he controlled his deeds and his sins he didn't commit. And then he looked after his, even his deeds won't be weighed on that day. First and foremost, the announcement will be made, go straight into Jannah without any reckoning, because you had made your heart, you stayed away from the sins, so you don't need to transfer your sins to other deeds to other people. So brothers, the meaning, the objective of us sitting here, gathering here, and to do dhikr and adhkar, and to go and keep a link, a spiritual connection with somebody. What is this? What is the reason for this? It's islah of the qalb, of the heart. Rectification of the heart. This is the rectification of a heart. And this doesn't mean that we've come here to pray salah, we've come here to learn dhikr, etc. Technical things. Learn all the kitabs that you can read for dhaili amal. There are many, many hadith about dhikr. Many. In the tens. Hundreds. And every day, morning and evening, we read those hadith. We don't need to go, we could say, to a wali of Allah, to somebody who's pious. Why do we need to travel to do that? Is there any benefit? No. But the difference is that we read, but here we come to do, to act, to implement. That's the difference, isn't it? It's a big difference. So, we also read there, and also if we come and just read and listen, then what's the point? We won't reach the destination. The life is passing very fast, very fast. Alhamdulillah, your coming is Mubarak, your sitting is Mubarak, our coming is Mubarak. Congratulations and blessed. This is all good, but if we don't understand our destination, if we don't understand our objective, then we're wasting everything. We are wasting, think, we are wasting all of our time and our efforts. So here what do we need to do? We need to make our heart We need to make our heart, and we need to learn the tariqah, the method, because the most important thing after attaining or nurturing the iman, if the heart is correct, then our ibadat will be accepted and they will be of use to us. If the heart is wrong, spoilt, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem, has stated that the whole body will be wrong and incorrect and spoiled. And that person will be stuck. How will he come out of the factory when the factory, the heart, is given the wrong products? If he's got the wrong machine running, if there's a bread factory, and the machines are faulty, they've got faults, then it will cut the bread incorrect, and the whole loaf will come out, and it won't get sliced properly, and the wrap will be cut incorrectly, it won't be wrapped properly. So if we do the ibadat, but without the heart being correct, then how will our hajj be accepted, and our Quran be accepted, and nafal ibadat be accepted? But if the heart is corrected, then everything will be wrapped up nicely, the bread will be produced nicely, and will be wrapped nicely, and cut nicely, and people say, ah, have you eaten that loaf of bread? Have you eaten from that company? Because they manufacture nicely. So if a person makes his heart correct and clean, then he prays salah and does talawah, then the angels will come that this individual does ibadah, and we should go to this person because we really feel good sitting with this person and having company with this person. He will be famous in that day and age, and in the heavens he will be famous that mashallah, he's doing ibadah, it's been accepted, and people are going to him to do dua, and good products are coming out from that person's company and from within that person. So this is so important, how the Quran and the Hadith, they deliver the message to us in a beautiful way, and very easily it's being told to us so that we can not go astray, so we don't go astray. Every individual, it's fard on every individual. It's fard on every individual. What? That we need to focus on our heart, and we need to strive on our heart and make effort on our heart. Just like when we go to a factory and there's a team of engineers, there's a department in every factory, there's a research department and a technical department, and their job, the maintenance team, they are looking, they're preventing the breakdowns and the faults and the downtime so that there's no fault in the machine, so that the machines go down and that could affect the quality of the products. So the technical people, engineers, and the people who are very capable, they keep on checking the machine and the settings of the machine and the components of the machinery so that that machine functions smoothly and efficiently. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a heart. And Allah Ta'ala said that continuously check your heart. Who are the engineers of the heart? The walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, go to the walis of Allah, lubricate your heart and listen to their words so that your heart can function nicely, smoothly and efficiently. But don't just listen to what they say, do amal on what they say. So your heart can take you to amal. Because if we don't do amal, then the machine is not correct. The machine is correct. So if the machine, is it correct? Is it wrong? And if the engineer has not put any oil into it, hasn't corrected the components, he hasn't changed the components on time, he hasn't done the maintenance on the right frequency, then the machine will break down. So at the same time, if we've got a heart, we should go to the doctor of the heart, the engineer of the heart. For example, somebody comes to this majlis and he should listen. When he comes to the next majlis, the next gathering, he should have changed for the better with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. Allah will say that this person is now embarked on the path. He started to run. In Punjabi, we say turpia. He's come onto his path. He's attached to the path now. Isn't it? So this is the terminology that we use. MashaAllah. So I remember a point with regards to me, and this statement came out of my mouth due to the company I kept with my sheikh, who showed me, MashaAllah, the path towards Jannah. So in the beginning, early days, when I went to Hazrat, and I went for tarbiyah, like I've told you before, that whatever you'd hear or I'd hear, we'd try to implement practice. So I'd go like this, and my habit would be that until today I still have with me the copy. I used to have like a little copy, like, you know, in the villages you have a copy, like a pad of paper, and it's very rough paper with the lines on it, and they're made out of like thick paper. And I used to buy that copy, not some refill pad that we get today, and maybe it's probably like really got old now and it's about to fall apart. And I had a pencil, and everything that Hazrat Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to say, I used to record and write down. I used to write the method of salah and how to do dua, because I used to understand that this is my Rahbar-e Azam, my supreme guide. This is such a person who I've been given that I have to follow him in every way. In every way. Why? Because I know that Allah Ta'ala has given me a guide, and he is the deputy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a full process behind it, because I was seeking the path. I was seeking the path, that Allah, I need a path, I can go and embark on the right path and I can get close to Allah and my heart can improve for the better. And this was my aim, my objective, my maqsad. And I went with this objective to my husband, to my Shaykh the first time. Then I waste time after that? No, I didn't waste a minute, a second. I used to write down what Hazrat Sahib used to say. I never considered any majlis, any gathering a waste. If any word came from Hazrat, rahmatullahi alayhi, I never thought it was a waste or not necessary. The question wouldn't arise. Behind every word there was a hikmah, wisdom. Yes, and today I see this is present. I read, until today I still read. So I can show this thing to you, I can show the copy to you. I've written the history that I sat with Hazrat on this day, and this person came and he asked and he said this, and Hazrat smiled. Everything is there. And this is my method every day. I do dars of this, I read this, and I read the copy and the notes and the records that I wrote. SubhanAllah, I used to write it regularly and punctually. And then I used to try to practice on this. And I'm not a useful person until today. This has not been of benefit to me in my life, but I should do it. And I should try, because a person should try, isn't it? What can a person do if he's useless and bone idle? That's what I consider the situation to be. So I remember a point here, that somebody went and said to Hazrat Sahib, that there's a mareed of yours, he's living in this place, and he said my name. And he said, MashaAllah, he's doing work of the deen. And they're struggling and striving. And then he said a statement. Then what did they say? That kam te lag gaya, subhanallah. This was the statement of Hazrat. That kam te lag gaya, kam pe lag gaya, end of story. So that he understood. That what a great hint that he understood. And after understanding, he said he's now he's running on the path. He didn't just listen. And then he didn't just listen. He's embarked on the journey. He's following the journey. He's practicing the journey. So this is the point, that when we go to a majlis, that majlis and gathering isn't for just pastime or social, or it's a sama mefil and we go and enjoy ourselves and etc. No, the reality of these majalis, our objective of coming, your objective of coming should be that here we'll wear, hear the words of the walis of Allah, we'll listen to good words, we'll do islah, rectification. If you have the feeling of coming and you think there'll be benefit for you coming, then come. Yes, if you come traditionally, if there's a benefit, alhamdulillah, my life is improving for the better now, I will start to strive and struggle. And before I pass away, I want to correct myself, because the world is a very dangerous place. Then mashaAllah, this is very good. Because dhikr is done in many places. You can do dhikr in other places. There's no lack of dhikr in many places. But the objective of coming, we need to put in front of us. We need to understand and have this awareness. This is very important, that to make the heart, without making the heart, rectifying the heart, everything else is a waste. So if we don't strive and work hard, then we will not get a good result. Nothing. Now, if you say that I do dhikr, I remember Allah, and this is a gathering of rectification in which I do my rectification in Islam. Let's go a bit forward. People, they have a deception or misconception that I am fine, I do dhikr, I don't need any teacher, I don't need guidance, I am past. Look at my face, my appearance, and I do a lot of tasbih, I have two tasbih in my hands. I don't need guidance, a person says. So Allah Ta'ala is Kareem, Allah Ta'ala knows about the claim that a person has. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the guidance here, the hint here. The people who work hard on their hearts, Allah ta'ala says, I will explain to you, I will guide you through that. Fair enough, you have started to do dhikr and you have got the company of a teacher and a wali of Allah. But judge yourself, measure yourself. How many good deeds are you implementing? Are these accepted? Are they good deeds? Are they sincere deeds? Why do we go to the majlis? Why do we go to the wali of Allah? For what? For one reason. What's the reason? For islah. If we still don't understand this, why do we come to the majlis? What for? For islah, to correct and reform the heart. Why do we go? To do what? So everybody should say, so we know that, you know, is this why you've come? To improve the heart? To correct the heart? To make the heart sincere? Yes. Allah Ta'ala has given a sign. So let's not be in the darkness, oh, I'm fine, I've been healed, I'm cured, my heart is sincere and clean. Allah says, I will give you the sign of the pure heart. That judge yourself, that you've come and you say, I'm fine. And if you're not correct, if you're not improved, then you could go into Jahannam. So keep on asking yourself, am I corrected myself? Am I improved? Is my dhikr working or not? Is my dhikr working or not? Am I being successful or not? Allah Ta'ala gives us the guidance of how to measure the success. So one thing develops within a person when his heart is made, then a speciality comes in his heart at that time. A speciality, a special feeling, special condition, the Quran tells us. Allah says, قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. The heart, the condition starts to be made, and the certain, you can say emotion comes into the heart and the fear of Allah comes into the person's heart. And this is the sign of the heart, success. The Allah says, قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala says that those people whose hearts are made or start to be, or they embark on the journey of improvement, then those hearts, from that heart which is attaining islah, rectification, and good products are coming out of the heart, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala has given the guidance here, what? That those people whose hearts are made, they start to fear Allah. They start to fear Allah. They fear Allah for this reason, they have so much khawf that I have got to go to Allah, and I have to reach to Allah, and I have to answer for my deeds. And when this feeling comes into that heart, that I have to go to Allah, and I have to stand in front of Allah, I have to answer to Allah. And which condition is that person in? قُلُوبِهِمْ وَجْلَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, the khawf comes into the heart for this reason, that Allah, how does the khawf come? That Allah, from today, no, the question doesn't arise, I will commit to sin, because the khawf is coming to that person's heart, they have to go to Allah. And so much the yaqeen becomes strong, that I have to reach to Allah. What answer will I give to Allah? What answer will I give to Allah? SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has given us a sign, that when a person's heart becomes clean and pure and he starts to recognize and he feels, then will he consume somebody's wealth? Will he leave the salah? This is that stage, that person who is praying salah and is a dhakir, who is improving his heart. So will he do sins? Will he take people's rights? Will he grab from people? He knows that I have to go to Allah and his heart is full of fear and he can't commit the sins. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatul alayh, somebody came to see him. And he used to work in such a place, there was corruption in that department, especially in our countries, in our subcontinent, there's corruption, bribery. And he used to work in such a department, he was a big officer. And fear came, he had a passion and a desire, he understood what Hazrat said. He said, I want to be bayah, I want to pledge allegiance to Hazrat. And when he got bayah, when he was bath, and after, because he had the true intention, the pure intentions, what happened to his heart? That suddenly, that feeling, emotion overtook his heart. قُلُوبِهِمْ وَجِلَةٌ. And suddenly he started to fear and have khawf and say, oh, I took bribery from this person, I took bribery from that person, I took money from that person, I swore at that person. Then he stood up. And every single door he went, he made a list and he asked for forgiveness. And such a big officer, they said, what's happened to this person? He's a senior officer. He said, I took bribery from you and I asked for forgiveness from you. For the sake of Allah, forgive me. He was asking for forgiveness. He's doing tawbah and repenting. Everybody who he transgressed against, he went to the whole city, the town, the village, and said, I have to answer to my Lord, to my Rabb Allah. And the Quran is, how isn't it? It tells us, and this is how the heart becomes pure. So if we are making effort, tell me, if we're making effort on the heart and this passion is not kindled in our heart, this passion is not revived in our heart to do good and to go and ask for forgiveness and not to oppress people, then we have not rectified our heart. Either my intention wasn't correct, or I did not work hard enough for my heart, or I didn't do the right actions for my heart. Allah knows best that what we are thinking, that what we should be doing, which we are not doing. Allah Ta'ala says, SubhanAllah, further in the Quran, that what happens after that? That when that person's heart is made, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. SubhanAllah. Allah mentions after that, that their situation becomes such that they become so full of khawf of Allah and the fear of Allah and the knowledge and the awareness of Allah, they don't want to commit one step, one breath, one action that can earn the displeasure of Allah. Every step they take cautiously, just like a person's walking on a bed of nettles and thorns, he walks carefully, treads carefully. In the same way a mu'min, he treads carefully not to sin. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says that those people, those individuals, they become so fast in this thing, so fast, sabiqoon, they try to go so much forward in the good deeds, to this extent, that they don't want to leave one good deed that they should be practicing. Mustahab, fard, is this sunnah, is this wajib, is this necessary, is this not necessary? No. The environment of their life, the standard of their life becomes like this, that how dare I leave one good deed, it will become like Qiyamah day for me if I leave one good deed. One good deed. Tell me, what is the life of these people? Arifin, these are the Arifin, those who have the knowledge of Allah, aware of Allah. That is why their whole life, it is adhering to the sunnah. Not just the appearance, the face and the libas and the attire. The whole life is according to the sunnah. The whole environment is according to the sunnah. The rights of ma'ashara, mu'amalat, whatever rights they are, whatever they have to do, totally, alhamdulillah, they practice and implement with the fear of Allah, and they're so sincere on the good deeds, Allah Ta'ala said, that they run for the good deeds. They run, they are hastily run. Give me this, let me do this, I will take from here, let me take this. Just like people in the dunya, we are people from the dunya, we run after wealth. I want this money and this money, and I want this and I want this project, and let me take this business and that order and this order. So their hal, the believers, the people who are rectifying themselves, they run towards the good deeds. They run towards good deeds. They know that there's a good deed on offer with the reward, then the person, that's when his heart has been made salihun, salihat. Subhanallah. So this is something we need to analyze. We need to ponder, my brothers, how much life has passed. Someone's 30 years have gone, 40 years, somebody's 50 years have gone, somebody's 60 years, somebody's got two children, somebody's children have grown up, somebody's children have been married and wed off, etc. We are all in this mahal, in this environment. So if we don't strive now, if we don't make effort now, then what will happen to us? Has our heart become pure, clean, rectified? Do we save ourselves from the sins, like we run away from a stench? Do we save ourselves from the haram? We should have so much khawf that we should start to tremble due to the name of the sin. Oh no, I can't do this. This will not happen. I will never be able to implement this. No, I can't do this. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because there are big sins attached, big punishments attached to the sins. There are so many angels of Jahannam. And there are such warnings Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Warnings in the Quran that gave you so many chances, so many reminders. 70, 80 years you stayed on the earth. Quran was read to you, hadith and ulama, scholars spoke, and you heard, and you went to the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, and you did dhikr, and you remembered me, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, I delivered the whole deen to you, but you still didn't understand. Such severe punishments of Jahannam that we cannot imagine, that we say this is a small sin, to take somebody's money, to consume somebody's wealth, to break the trust with regards to their wealth, to take this from somebody, to eat and consume somebody's haq, and to overtake somebody's property or their mal or their wealth and not to give it back. Totally a person becomes free from the reality of the deen. Look at our deen, our religion. Subhanallah, if we do amal, practice on this one hadith, then imagine how the light will suddenly spread across the whole Ummah and all our countries. And it will be such a beautiful place that the doors will be open, and there's no danger of theft or of the thief, nothing. The doors are open. Subhanallah. And mashallah, there will be love between human beings more than the love between brothers, and the muashara, the society will be made. So what will cause this? When people who are non-Muslims, and they say, they look at their religion, Islam, and look at the difference between the practice of the Muslims and what their scriptures and their books say. What a contrast. In other words, between the heavens and earth, the gap, that's the difference between our practice and the theory in the Quran and the hadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we should be doing. We should see this. So every Muslim's heart should feel this. Every believer's heart should feel that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that every believer's heart should be clean and pure. Shouldn't be spoiled. It should be pious, so that good deeds can come out of that person's life and their body. Good deeds can be implemented. So we need to improve the heart. So should we improve the heart? If the heart is correct and reformed, then everything will be good. We will save ourselves from sins. We will be fraud and lying and cheating. And if not, then our situation is very dangerous indeed. Very dangerous indeed. The dhikr we do. Hazrat Noor Allah Marqada, rahmatullahi, my teacher, has such a great statement of his. He stated that if you do dhikr, they ask somebody, how much dhikr do you do? Somebody says 10,000. The other person, how many times do you do dhikr? He says 50,000. Somebody else, how much dhikr do you do? 90,000. Very good. Hazrat said, listen to me carefully. Sheikh is stating this to the murids. Hazrat's statement I'm presenting. Listen to the statement. Short statement, but very hefty. And put it into your heart. Hazrat said, even the person who does 10 times dhikr is very good. 25 times is very good. 50 times if he recites Allah, Allah is very good. And 90,000 is very good. And 100 is also very good. Everyone is doing dhikr and everybody is good. And everything is accepted. But remember my one word, Hazrat said. Subhanallah. Remember my, what did Hazrat say? What did they state? That don't talk about quantity. What is the reality? Don't talk about quantity. That if a person attains dhikr and he's got instruction that do dhikr like this morning and evening or whatever with this number, then if he dislikes sins and goes towards good deeds, however much dhikr he's doing, but if he likes sin and he goes away from good deeds, then his dhikr is a waste. So the objective is not dhikr. What a beautiful point, as I said. And this is the wali of Allah who can say this. 90,000, mashallah, do 90,000 dhikr every day. Wow, wow, very good, very good. 100,000 you do? Very good. And here's a sweet box. Box of sweets. And if the person who's doing 10 times tasbih of Allah and dhikr of Allah, and mashallah he has that desire to do dhikr and he's got the desire to do good deeds. What was that verse I read a little bit earlier with regards to the good deeds? As the Quran has explained to us, subhanAllah, that the individual who runs towards the good deeds and he saves himself from the sins, like the Quran has just told us, and I read that verse in front of you. So then, mashallah, his heart is made. And if he makes his heart reform via 10 times recitation of Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah says, mashallah, you are succeeding. And because that person's gone to the front of the queue in terms of performance and result, even if he just does 10 times dhikr of Allah, as opposed to 90,000, 50,000. So the objective is to get to the destination. We have a car, you want to go to London, and you've got a Toyota, somebody's got a Skoda, and somebody's got a Mercedes, and somebody else has got a whatever manufacturer, a BMW, different cars, and everyone's traveling to the motorway. Somebody gets a puncture, somebody's petrol runs out, fuel runs out, somebody stops to have tea, but the Skoda man, he will get there first. Why? Because he went at the steady speed and steady rate, and Subhanallah didn't stop and look around. So who is successful? The person who went in the Skoda, in that car, he reached there in the same way. If a person does 10 times recitation of dhikr and he works hard and he's consistent and regular and steadfast, the person whose niyyah is correct, if he does once Allah, he will be successful once. That Allah Ta'ala's beautiful name is such that doesn't matter how many thousands of years it may be recited, a person commits sins, and such sins, shirk, polytheism, ascribing partners to Allah, and he keeps on saying Allah, but he doesn't practice, but then one day he says Allah from the depth of his heart, then his sins are removed. Subhanallah, Allah's name which purifies the whole universe, Allah Ta'ala is praised, defined, explained. Subhanallah, there's nothing that can compare to the power and the glory of Allah Ta'ala's name. And Allah says, I've given this name to you very easily, so you can recite it, but don't ask the sifat, the quality of this, that this, if you recite Allah's name, should not let the sins stay to the roots of our heart. But then we don't have the niyyah, we don't want to, we have thousands of excuses, I want this to be done, this to be done, I need to make my environment, etc., I need this success, this. What's the point? What a beautiful statement has the Shaykh stated, mashallah. Beautiful statement. So, we should take the deception out, that it's not necessary to do 100,000, let's start counting, 100,000, I've got it. No. Despite this, rather than this, we should look towards our heart and focus that, am I reforming my heart? Am I improving my heart? Is my heart improving? So for this Allah Ta'ala has given us the cure. What a beautiful cure. Everything comes from the Quran. To make the heart, to reform the heart, to improve the heart, to rectify the heart. You don't need to travel. You don't need to go into jail. You don't need to... Allah Ta'ala says, "Kullu shayin sakilan," and the washing agent, the cleaning agent for the heart is dhikr Allah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that Allah Ta'ala has created everything in the universe, and for everything there is a cleaning agent. For everything. Everything as a cleaning agent. And the most important thing, which is the heart, has Allah Ta'ala not set aside or manufactured a cleaning agent for the heart? And that's why I'll tell you, and that's why Rasulullah said, I'm here to tell you, I've come to explain these things to you, but you don't know about these things, so that's why I'm explaining to you. Subhanallah. That there's a cleaning agent for the heart, through which a person's heart becomes clean and sparkles and glows. And what is that? Dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembrance. So we should grab hold of, take hold of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained this to us. And we should understand that the heart becomes clean at that time and he comes onto that position that he can practice everything. So brothers, everything hinges on what? The heart. Success hinges on what? The heart. And the recognition of the sincerity of the heart, that has been mentioned in the verse of the Quran through what Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah said, that if you've got love for dhikr and you don't think that this guarantee for your deeds, and you know it's a good deed, and on top of that you think you're just going to get the thawab and you don't have any regard for the sins, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person revives my sunnah, man ahya sunnati inda fasad al ummati, can there be any bigger fasad than this, than today the fasad? If a person in this day and age revives one sunnah, can there be a greater good deed than this? If a person revives one sunnah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Allahu Akbar. That he will get the reward of 100 shaheed. 100 shaheed. And nobody goes towards the sunnah practice. If someone says, "Oh, I'll give you £100 here. And when he goes a bit further, then here you'll get 150 pounds. Go jump, we'll jump over the hurdle and run forward if we get 150 pounds further up. This is the condition of a heart spoiled. Where we talk about deeds, good deeds, what should have happened is that the person, subhanAllah, who's not practicing sunnah, his appearance is not correct, you should do tawbah straight away, that I'm not going to waste my time. If my mouth comes, I need to rectify before that. So one fist length, if it's one less than one fist length, then it's not the beard, it's not the shalan beard. It's not lawful. The beard has to be minimum. So some people, they measure the beard from the bottom of their nose, the nostrils. No, you have to measure from here, the bottom of the chin. Somebody said it has to be one fist. He said, here's one fist. I've got one fist length of beard. And he said, here. And he put his hand under his nostrils and measured from the upper lip. You can't do that. You have to measure from the chin. So this is fraud with the heart. What is the result when the eyes close and we realize that what is the heart? We'll realize. That's what the Quran gave us the condition, that how the angels take the ruh out at the time of death and how they persecute the person who sinned, will realize at that time for discarding the sunnah. And such excuses for consuming haram. We don't even know, I don't know, I didn't know this was haram, I didn't know this was unlawful, I didn't know this wasn't correct. Okay, fair enough, Allah Ta'ala says carry on. But what will happen? What will come further up? What will occur to you? That one, subhanAllah, you have to keep the beard one fist length. You have to grow it minimum one fist length or longer from all sides. And if it's less than that length from the sides and the under the chin, then it's less than the sharan, the sharia length of the beard as it should be. And then that has no link with the sunnah, with what is required. And very big events related to this, very great events in the grave, that they are ground shaking events. I remember an event, a story of an elder personality, and he used to, mashallah, apply the henna to his hair. Rasulullah said 19 or 20 hairs that had gone grey or white. And the ashiks, the sahaba, counted the number of hairs of Rasulullah that had gone grey. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted to disclose every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't want to hide anything, conceal anything. And such ashiks were created. Subhanallah, such ashiks that the saliva that would come from Rasulullah's mouth, they would not let that touch the ground. Rather, they would grab the saliva and wipe it over their face. Allah Ta'ala showed such great sahabi. So somebody asked that, can there be such great ashiks like this? And can there be anything, any beauty like this? He had such beauty that the ashiks, the lovers came around him, swarmed around him. So the greater the beauty, the greater the ishq, isn't it? SubhanAllah, and you know this, mashallah, how many mashallah attachments or attractions you must have had in the world. So this is not the magic or the achievement of the ishq, it's the achievement of the husn, of the beauty, not of the ishq, the love. So today we say the sahaba kiram, that ishq, that love, SubhanAllah. We need to understand that, look, forget about the love of the sahaba, but look at the husn of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great beauty. So would he not naturally attract the people to himself? Of course he would. We have to accept this. Somebody said that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, the ishq that the women had for him was so much that they cut their fingers. And he stated in reply that they cut their fingers by mistake, by accident. SubhanAllah. So this is the point here, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his one sunnah is significant. Every sunnah is significant, that you get the reward of 100 shaheed. 100 shaheed. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala bring us all towards the good deeds, especially the dhakir and the shakir. For them, they shouldn't think of what is a good deed, or this is not a big deed and this is not important. No, run to all good deeds. Run to all good deeds and try that. I can try and practice this deed and this is enough for me. SubhanAllah. And this is it. The sunnah, the imamah, the turban, and mashallah, tomorrow's Jummah and Jummah Salah, and we know this reward, and we're ashamed of this. Of this. How can we be ashamed? That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that you will do oppression to your own desires. You do dhulm on your own desires. If you don't want to earn good deeds, who are you oppressing? Who are you making ashamed? You are making ashamed and oppressing those things, those people that will give you the high maqam in Jannah. We are ashamed of those actions to do today. Implement those deeds that will give us Jannah paradise. And we are rather go towards those that will take us to the opposite end. And SubhanAllah, those people, for example, who... One, don't go towards the sunnah actions because they don't think that they're going to get the reward after. But there's others who have the passion, desire to follow the sunnah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the desire. Let's make this life full of passion and desire. How to reform our hearts first. So let's cultivate our hearts and create the passion in the heart.
with the yaqeen certainty of Allah and the fear of Allah. Allah says that you should start to run from the sins with the feeling that there's a big punishment in this and I can't commit these sins. We should run after good deeds, that no second, no portion of the time in the day of our life should we leave. We should run towards the good deeds. Run towards good deeds. That this action has got 10 rewards. 10 rewards. 10 good deeds. Allahu Akbar. And you shouldn't start to dissect them. Look towards Allah's rahmah, mercy. A person who says, oh, I'll get one reward in alif, lam, mim. How much do you get for each letter? Tell me, it's one letter, isn't it? Alif. One letter. And when Allah's rahmah will come, it will go to 70 and beyond 70. Subhanallah. So when you do one good deed, then don't think, even if it's just one thawab, don't think, oh, it's just one thawab. Look, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah mercy, it won't stay as one. If I commit this deed, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah mercy can increase this goodness to 70 and even beyond. So why should I leave this? Allahu Akbar. And then you can weigh your deeds, subhanallah, on the scale. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and also to you, brethren. Ameen.